So chanting inattentively is an offense. So what is the consequence of that? So actually, when we talk about offense, we have to understand that, again, Krishna is an understanding God. There is inattentiveness that is just involuntary. The mind is so turbulent that it doesn't stay at one place. In general, we should know that Prabhupada writes in one first canto purport that when things are beyond human control, then there is nothing to regret. Sometimes we do our best. You know, we are going for a particular program on time, but there's a traffic jam and we get late. There's nothing for us. We did our best. But something's beyond our control went wrong. But sometimes the mind's force of wandering is so great that we just can't do much. We try to focus, but the mind wanders. But when we are knowingly, intentionally inattentive, let me say, somebody is chanting and they're watching TV. Now, okay, that is not, see, sometimes the mind starts a TV inside us. It is difficult to close that. We may try to close that, but the mind just goes on here and there. But the outside TV, it's very much in our power to close that. If we can't close that, somebody else is watching, we can go to some other room and study, room and chant. So when we are knowingly, intentionally inattentive, then it is a problem. And anyway, there is another principle, yena kena prakarena mana krishna niveshayetu. Somehow or other, fix the mind on Krishna. Sometimes the mind is wandering so much that we just can't focus. So inattentive chanting is better than no chanting. But when inattentive chanting becomes a habit, and when we stop making an effort to connect with Krishna. See, again, when we talk about the offense, we have to understand everything in its purpose. See, a purpose is that we want to develop a relationship with Krishna. Say, now, if we go to talk with someone, and then when we are talking with them, they are looking at their phone, when they are checking their messages, typing something. I'm talking with you, pay some attention to me. So then we are not really developing the relationship. So relationship is developed through attention. Now, but sometimes it may be that, you know, that other person is very busy and we want to meet them, but you know they are walking along from one meeting to another meeting, and then in between you just grab and talk 2 minutes at that time. Now, that is a situation where they are also bound, they are helpless. So that time we also understand, you know, okay, at least they could have said I cannot meet you only, but that person met for 2 minutes. So the point is, we appreciated that time. Okay, you really did not have time, but still you made out 2 minutes for me. It's good. So like that, we should not just see inattentive chanting as an activity or chanting as an activity. Chanting is an activity, not in isolation, but it's a part of our relationship with Krishna. So in that sense, if sometimes it's just our mind is so wild, we just can't chant, our life is so busy that we can't really focus at one place and chant, then chant somehow or the other. But if we have a choice, we try to reorder our schedule, we try to reorder our circumstances by which we can focus and chant. So we again should never have this conception that Krishna is a fault-finding God, Krishna is a vindictive God. Because I chanted inattentively, Krishna is punishing. Actually, by being inattentive in our bhakti, we are punishing ourselves. It is not Krishna who is punishing us. We are depriving ourselves of the shelter of Krishna. That shelter can protect us, that shelter can strengthen us, and we are depriving ourselves. So it's not that Krishna is punishing us, we are depriving ourselves. Does that answer your question? Thank you.